Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And you know where you are today. Yep, you're with your host, Richard Lannan, for Set for Success. Like I said, you knew that already. So what are we going to be doing? Okay, you know this deal. We're going to continue our journey. We're going to help you create a roadmap to change your business, your career, or life. And we're going to do this through chatting to one person at a time. We want to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. Now, if you listen to me often, you know that I love quotes. And I often think on social media, I should start putting these quotes out. So I get these ideas and then I have to Google just to check out to see if I can find a quote for it. So here's my quote today, right? Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Now, that was from Eleanor Roosevelt. Now, if you don't know who Eleanor Roosevelt is, she is the wife of Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was the U.S. president from 1933 to 1945. But she was a leader in her own right and involved in numerous humanitarian causes throughout her life. I will say that she had a very interesting, impactful life, but you'd have to go and read some of her history, her bio, to find out exactly what it is or what it was like. For this show, I was researching the question, where do ideas come from? And I came across lots of scientific research on that question, stuff that more advanced than what most people would actually read. I mean, it's all scientific jargon. Interesting, though, I found this article in Psychology Today that looked at the most successful rock bands in history, and they referred to the Beatles. So right away, it said rock bands I was in. I knew I had to take a look at it. I was hooked. In the biography by Paul McCartney, he stated his secret, or their secret. As usual, for these co-written things, as he said, John often had the first verse, which was always enough. It was the direction. It was the signpost. It was the inspiration for the whole song. I hate the word, but it was the template. That's the way he actually worded it. Paul and John used a formula early in their careers to create many blockbuster songs. They're not only the ones, but many artists, authors and songwriters and composers also use a template in some form. So to be successful, or even successful people in business, career people, and everyday people like you and me, the question is, what is your template that will help you create the ideas for your success? So this is what we're going to do today. This gave me the opportunity to actually reach out to a friend, a business associate, an all-around good guy, Bob Huey. I first met Bob at a CAPS meeting, that's Canadian Association of Professional Speakers, over 15 years ago. And now I have the privilege to hang out with him today, with somebody I actually respect and admire in my studio, who goes by the name of Bob the Idea Man Huey. Bob, it's an honor to welcome you to Set for Success today.
Richard, my pleasure to be with you today and share some ideas with your viewers.
With my viewers, with my listeners.
And I'm sure they're going to listen. They're going to be thinking, what do I see in this?
Yeah, and what do I see in this? I always like it. We're on radio like this, and my wife still tells me I have a face for radio, so for podcasts. So
yeah, me too.
I can't get away from it. Bob, you know, the best way to sort of set this up is to, let's just find out a little bit about Bob, who he, and, you know, where you're from, what your background is. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I come from a little town called Egremont, Alberta. It's northeast of Edmonton, about 45 minutes from the edge of town. Small place of about 75 people. I'm the eccentric one. I leave town once in a while. I'm not saying it's small, but there's a sign that says, last one out, please turn off the lights. But I have been a professional speaker, author, and trainer for close to 25 years now. And that has given me the opportunity to travel the world, 54 countries so far, sharing ideas, encouraging people to seek their dreams, to take a risk, to grow, to stretch, and to see what they can do. And a lot of times it's business people, entrepreneurs, leaders who want to do a better job with their employees, and they want to find a way of leveraging their potential and helping them grow. So that's basically what I do.
Awesome. You know, Bob, I've never had the opportunity to ask you this question, and I was curious. And actually, I was working on some notes for the show, and I thought, Bob, the Idea Man Huey, where did the whole Idea Man thing come from?
That actually came from a client.
Oh, did it really?
It came from a client. We were discussing some work I was going to do for them, and after about half an hour, he looked at me and said, you're a real Idea Man, aren't you? And I went, Yeah, I guess I am.
I guess I am.
So I thought about it, and I thought, yeah, okay, I'm the idea man.
I'm the idea man. Because you've been basically branding your profession around that whole idea that you're the idea man.
20-some years now.
20-some odd years. And has that, I'm curious because more or less I've just brought up this whole idea of branding, and the show is set for success, right? So in essence, you branded yourself for success. So how did that, if I can bring you back 20 years, how did that work for you? Because I can't imagine that. When you initially thought, well, I'm the idea man, did you sort of shake it off and say, okay, that's just silly?
It took a while for me to really get behind it.
Okay.
But again, as I started listening to conversations I had with clients and with audiences, I realized that a lot of what I do is idea rich.
Okay.
Which is something I coined. But it's just something that I want to enrich people's lives by sharing ideas that they can actually build on.
The company is
actually called Ideas at Work.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And, the idea is you have an idea. Lots of people have ideas, but if you don't do something with it, you don't put some feet under it, nothing happens. Some of the most brilliant ideas in the world have never been acted on and have never been built. And that's the key.
Exactly.
My encouragement is to people to say, if you have an idea, do some research, do your homework, find out if it's worthwhile, and then take a shot at it.
Now, you mentioned also that you've traveled 54 different countries.
54 countries so far.
Yeah, so that's to me itself, that's absolutely amazing. Can you maybe share one or two journeys about a country that you just somehow enveloped you or enveloped you?
Well, yeah, I've been very fortunate in the countries that I've gone to. For example, I spoke in Iran back a while, and I was amazed at the people. Because, I mean, I looked at it from the outside, from here, the lens that we see from here, and I wasn't sure what to expect. I found the people amazingly warm, very receptive to the ideas, and very much open to talk about things. Same thing in Cape Town when I was there 2 years ago, or last year when I was speaking in Beijing in April. The audience was major response, and wanted to talk more. They just were like a sponge. They wanted to learn. I mean, China is, for example, one country that if we're not careful, they're going to eat our lunch.
Okay, fair
because,
enough.
Because they're serious.
Yeah.
They're serious about business, and they have the mentality and the money to make it happen. So if they need to do something, they do it. The government says, we need to build a bridge, they build a bridge.
Yeah, if you spend, it's interesting when you use that one as an example, because one of the things I love to do, and I've traveled similar to yourself, but not 54 countries, but one of the things I like to look at and research different countries and what they're doing, and if you track some of the stuff on the internet from a business perspective, you quickly discover that China has done some amazing things infrastructure-wise, like things that North America overall are struggling with. Yeah. China's just gone and done it.
Well, and for example, I was just in Hong Kong and Shenzhen 3 weeks ago. And when I was in Shenzhen, the gentleman who was sort of showing me around paid for lunch with his phone. He even tipped the waiter with his phone. He said, I don't carry money.
Yeah.
And he said, we are actually more technology advanced even than Hong Kong is.
And that's pretty amazing.
And that's amazing.
With that thought, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. When we come back, maybe we can talk about the advancement in ideas and how we do things to make a distinction in our business and our lives. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Bob, the Idea Man Hui today, and I just love your name, Bob. I just love the fact they have Idea Man in between there. Just before the break, we were talking a little bit about your global travels and the difference in different countries, the people, the seriousness of countries, and particularly China, and how they actually use technology to move forward. You know, I often wonder, when we talk about countries like China, and maybe you can provide us a little bit more examples, how do we match up? How do we, you know, from North America, Canadian perspective, how are we just sort of, where are we at with all of this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as Canadians, my point on this is we shouldn't take seconds to anybody in the world. We have been for a long time innovators and leaders. So when I see stuff like this, I go, why aren't we doing it? And the reality is we're not doing it simply because we don't. But we could. There's nothing they're doing that we couldn't do and probably do better. You know, the technology is there. We have access to the technology. The difference being is the will to make it happen. You know, they've got the political will to make it happen. Their people are willing to follow that lead and they have the work ethic to make it work. So I think we just need to bring that home and say, what do we want to do here in Canada? What do we want to be on the world stage? And what do we need to change to make that happen?
To make that happen. Do you see that, and I don't know where you are from the provincial or regional levels of Canada, but do you see that certain regions in our country tend to be a little bit more out there being able to make things happen in other areas? Like, is there a trend or anything that we can maybe address?
Nothing noticeable. Although, for example, I live in Alberta now, as you know, that's where we met originally. Alberta, because of the change in the oil, has this time finally started working on diversification and moving away from the dependency on oil royalties, which is a smart move.
Yes, of course.
Previous governments didn't do that, and then every time we had a dip, boom, we suffered. So the one thing I've noticed and I like is we're starting to look at other things, technology, additional areas that we can support and ship out of the province to go around the world. And that's what we should be doing. Mm. We shouldn't be dependent on one particular commodity, because if things change, you're toast.
Yeah, and that does create a problem. I often say, like, you know, you probably know I work with a lot of international people, and I can share some of the same concepts. So one of the concepts or ideas I often ask when I'm doing programming, you know, how many people have money in their pockets, like cash, right? And it's interesting to see, and this is where this sort of started off with the whole China thing, is that pretty much anybody in the program from the Asian region or area of the world, as you should, you know, they don't have any cash in their pockets. They got like a credit card. Yeah. Or they just use their phone.
Or they're using their phone.
And then when you look at other countries, and actually as you trickle through to the Canadians in the room, oh yeah, they got some toonies and loonies, and they've got some bills and everything. That's the first thing I like to say. And the second piece is going with the whole idea of diversification. If you look at, I love GNP, GDP, and that stuff like this. Manitoba has the most diversified economy in the whole country.
That's amazing.
Right? And if you look at the GDP, it's the Globe and Mail did this great article about different GDPs of each province. And the GDP is like almost the perfect financial portfolio. Hmm. In Manitoba, like balanced,
wow.
Right?
Nice balance.
But okay. That's why you don't get the ups and downs as much as you do other provinces.
That's smart leadership.
Yeah, I'd like to think
it
so.
I think so.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
And it's got nothing to do with the politics and the people that are there. Just smart leadership is smart leadership.
It's period.
And that's where you're looking forward and you're building something that's good for the people you lead.
Now,
that transcends politics.
One of the things we talked a little bit about is the global economy during the break. You and I were just sort of hanging out chatting about this. What are your views on the global economy right now?
Well, I think we're going to see some very interesting things happen, personally. Some of them may, if you're not ready, will be a little bit scary. But I also know from experience that when there's downturns and turmoil, it's a time for people to step up and really take advantage of it. You know, during the depressions and the recessions, there have been more millionaires made than any other time.
Well, it's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity. So somebody has the idea of saying, okay, things are tough. I have an idea. I'm going to act on it because maybe money is cheaper. Maybe there's a labor supply or whatever it happens to be. And they bring it to market. And all of a sudden, while other people are just worrying about trying to save market share and all that, they're building market share. Mm. They're building something new. They're taking it to the market. And they're starting to, which is what's happening with Canada. We're starting to look as the world is our market. And I believe in that.
Yeah. Do you think that's a leadership thing, that we're starting to see the world as our market?
I don't know if the leaders really see that, but there's a lot of people in Canada who are leaders who do.
Yeah,
and that's smart thinking.
That's smart thinking. I know that we had the opportunity to talk a little bit about internet-based opportunities, and I don't know how far you want to go into that or not, but what are your views in terms of the global economy and leveraging the internet?
Well, the interesting thing with that is the internet has really leveled the playing field.
I spoke
literally in a township, which would what you would call a slum or a dump, just outside of Cape Town a couple of years ago. And I was talking to people that lived in the township, I mean, 3, 4, 5 generations, who were working to get out. And that's what I told them. I said, you realize that with a computer and the access to the internet, you can be as big as anybody in the world. They don't know who you are. They don't know where you are. All they want to do is, what can you do for me? What can you deliver for me? And how much does it cost? That type of thing. Hmm. And they bought it. They really got into that. I said, you really have the same advantage as somebody sitting in Canada or somebody in London or somebody in LA or somebody in New York. Based on that, because they don't see you. They don't know where you live. You have an IP address and you have a connection. So are you delivering? And if you're delivering value, you get the business.
Yeah, it's interesting you would say that. One, I'm very interested in lifestyles, right? And maybe we can talk a bit about that afterwards. But van life or alternative living and stuff. And there's a whole generation right now who have, in essence, no fixed address. They take their home with them, but they work full time. And it's fascinating to actually see how they make a living and have a career while they're not really limited to any physical space. You know, and it's just a fascinating concept to overlook, to talk about. That's we're going to end with that one. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Bob Huey. We call him the Idea Man. Always fascinated, Bob, with the things you talk about, especially in terms of the life you've led, because I think it's fair to say that you started off like every Canadian, right? And maybe we should talk about that a little bit, the growth of your career. But then you slowly moved yourself into being an international speaker and having the opportunity to work with many business folks around the world. Would that be correct to say?
Absolutely.
I can't imagine that you've never been quoted or anything. And so people must quote you sometimes. What are
actually,
some of the interesting
actually,
quotes that
they
you have?
They do. And it's interesting. Sometimes people send me, I see mimes on other people's website with my quote. And nicely, they at least give me credit.
Credit for
good.
You. Yeah,
but
yeah.
A friend of mine sent me when I was going to be going down speaking in Cape Town, and he was in Johannesburg, and he was in a training room, and their biggest bold on the back wall was one of my quotes. If you're not taking care of your customers, your competitors will, and my name on the back of their training wall. Just the whole wall. That was it.
That was it.
And he took a picture of him with that quote.
Isn't that awesome?
And that particular quote has been, it's been in Inc. magazine, it's been all over the internet, top 10 tips for salespeople, you know, Forbes magazine wrote an article, all that kind of stuff, where I get quoted on some of this
on those things.
It just, when I started down this road, I never thought that would happen.
Well, of course not, right? You start. Yeah. I actually understand it. I can share with you on that side too. When I started down the similar road, I never thought some of the things in my life would happen either, and I've been very surprised.
It's fun though, isn't it?
I'm curious about something. So, at some point in your life, you said, "I'm going to put it in this way." You woke up one day and you said, "I'm going to be a speaker." I'm just going to throw it out that way, right? Because that's just like an awesome thought in itself. But there must have been a journey to learn how to do that. Like you must have went and been part of some organizations or people help you along the way. Can you share that story?
I can. Actually, it's interesting. I used to be doing some work with the Federal Business Development Bank.
And
there
was
a gentleman
now it's
there.
The Business Development Bank.
Now it's the Business Development Bank. There was a gentleman there. His name was John Noonan. And I noticed that he had on his business card the NSA logo, which is the National Speakers Association.
Oh, yeah, out of the United States.
So I said to him, I said, John, I have this idea. I'd like to be a professional speaker someday. Mm. And he looked at me and he said, Bob, have you ever heard of Toastmasters? And I said, never have. And he said, well, if you check them out, because most of them meet on a weekly basis, you can go and you can practice and you get feedback and evaluations.
And
you get to be a better speaker. Huh. What he really was saying, because he'd heard me speak, is, Bob, you suck, but we can help.
And, how long ago was that?
That was almost 28 years ago.
Okay, so 28 years ago, you sucked.
Yeah.
I've had a lot
of help, and now I don't suck.
You don't suck so bad. The occasional bad day. We all have one, but I'm sure they're few and far between.
But that was the thing. That was the journey that started me down the path I am now, because I learned how to be a good speaker because I had feedback, and I actually listened and applied it, and I got better.
Yeah.
And as I got better, eventually people started asking me the magic words. How much would you charge to come and do that for my company?
Yeah.
And I was really smart because I was a Toastmaster. I said, well, what did you pay last year?
Oh, okay. So you didn't take
And then
your
I
hand.
Said, well, I could live with that. I could do that for that. That was the first time I ever got paid. I got paid like $1,500. They flew me on a plane down to Tucson. And, you know, I talked for like an hour and 10 minutes. And I stayed at Scottsdale for the weekend. And I'm sitting there having a Pepsi on Sunday morning thinking, I could like this.
Oh, yeah. I could get paid to do this.
I got paid to do this.
Yeah.
Who does this kind of stuff?
Yeah. That's really absolutely amazing. That was 28 years ago. 28 years ago. Wow, what a journey.
It's been fun.
You mentioned Toastmasters. Are you still involved with Toastmasters?
Yes, very
today?
Much.
So in 28 fact, years later, you're still part of that.
Yeah, and actually, I'm in Winnipeg for a reason. I'm part of the management team from Toastmasters International. I'm a regional advisor. There's 14 regions around the world. There's 19 advisors, and our job is to work with the district leaders in our regions, various districts. So I'm here to work with the people in District 64, do some calls, potentially help get some new clubs started, speak a little bit at various events for them, and hence that's our opportunity for you and me to hang out.
Yeah, there's it's been a while, and so that does give us the chance to be here together. Absolutely amazing, because I mean to be involved in the regions. Do you know how many Toastmaster clubs there do exist in Manitoba? Or?
Well, in Manitoba there's 100.
There's 100 clubs.
Yeah, there's 100 clubs. After the time I'm here, there'll probably be 105.
105.
Based on the conversations I've had with people this week. So
what are some of the things that that I don't know if it's you look for in a startup club or people should be looking for in a startup club?
Well, I think the biggest thing and what I look for is people want to be better than they are. They want to enhance their career. They want to learn to be a better speaker. Maybe they realize that leadership is something they really want to do. And Toastmasters focuses on those two areas, leadership and communication. In fact, our branding was changed a few years ago to where leaders are made.
Okay.
Because they're not born, they're made. And they're made by giving them opportunities to lead, getting feedback, learning what works, what doesn't work, and then you get better.
Now, Toastmasters, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, is not necessarily for the person who wants to be a professional speaker. This could just be for a person who just would like to speak better.
Wants to speak better.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any advice that you can give for an individual who actually wants to improve their speaking?
Well, I think the biggest thing is think about what you want to say before you say it. I mean, it's one thing to come and because we have something called table topic, which is impromptu speaking. But otherwise, think it through. I do that. I think it through in my head to see what it sounds like. I'll sometimes make notes and I'll think about it in terms of logic. Okay, I've got 5 points I want to share. This one would be the first, then followed by this, followed by this, followed by this. I mean, in fact, one of the things I teach, and I can't do it here because we're in the studio, is I get people to look at their hands, and you usually have 5 digits. It's an opening, 3 points, and a conclusion. That's a 20-minute presentation without notes.
Yeah.
Opening. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them, and then finish by reminding them what you told them.
What you told them. That's absolutely amazing because it's funny. I just had the same conversation with my wife. We had attended a presentation, and the challenge when you've been speaking for a long time is that you look at things as a professional speaker. And when a person does not deliver the way that you think they should be delivering, you analyze what they're doing.
Yes.
I'm being very nice.
Yes.
Right.
But I've been doing it long enough now. I understand because I've coached people.
Sure.
I mean, you know, for example, one year Bill Carmody was getting lots of national awards and international awards. So I got hired to be a speech coach to help him write his speeches and his PowerPoint and shape and whatever. But so I've learned how to do that gently.
Yes. Yeah.
Gently.
Yeah, which is very nice.
And, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because and you find somebody who wants to grow, they're receptive to it, they get better.
Yeah, they improve.
And then you get a chance to really watch them shine, which is, to me, is the best. That's the best reward.
Maybe this is the word we can use, because I would think that some people would be, I'm going to use the word fear, or concerned about joining a Toastmasters because maybe they feel like they might be beat up or something. That's not the intention,
oh, no.
Is it?
No. And one of the things I do in evaluation is it's always friendly. And it's usually from a point of saying, here's what I saw that worked. Here's some areas that you could work on, and here's some ways to make them better. I mean, that's one of the things that Toastmasters, that's one of the bedrocks of Toastmasters is effective evaluation.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you check out one of the clubs, we mentioned there's 100 of them, you can go to district64.ca and find a club in your neighborhood.
I often think that some people, you know, they're just looking to become a professional speaker and or just improve their speaking and they're looking for a place to do it. Maybe they're looking at acting programs. I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're looking at other organizations, but yet there's something called Toastmasters that allow you to actually make those improvements.
Yeah, and you can check out CAPS as well. I know there's a CAPS chapter here in Winnipeg.
Now, CAPS is a different type of organization, Canadian Association of Professional Speakers.
That's where you and I met.
That is where you and I met some years ago. If there is one little thought you could share about your speaking journey in a word, what might that be?
I think the biggest aha moment for me was when I realized it wasn't about me, it was about the audience.
Oh, okay.
And once I started doing that, I started relaxing.
Yes.
I started being more natural. I started laughing. I started smiling. I started having more fun. And so did my audiences.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
With the idea of having more fun and talking about ideas and maybe some templates to become set for success, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Bob a little bit about his approach in helping you become set for success. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello, all. Welcome back. Hanging out with Bob Hooey today. Bob, the Idea Man Hooey. Love his name. Wouldn't you love it if you were, when you were born, your parents actually gave you a name that in the middle it said something like Frank, the awesome guy, James, right? Or Tom, the forever great man, Tom, right?
Now, wouldn't that be a good idea for parents to actually do that?
Like give their middle name.
And set the future for their kids.
Yeah, give a middle name.
There's an idea for you.
I was just doing that off cuff. You got me thinking ideas there, Bob. I can't imagine. So during the last segment, I sort of said, well, you know what? We should really talk about your process a little bit, right? I mean, I know you help people. I know you help business people, but I know you help everyday people. So you must have an approach that you take in the journey that you provide.
Well, it's actually very simple. People, they ask me why I'm the Idea Man. I say, well, let's just sit down and talk for a while. You'll get it. Because what we do is I actually sit down and I talk to them about their business, their careers, their dreams, whatever they want to do. And as we're talking, I share ideas that come up from the conversation. Things that I've thought about, things that I've seen in other places that, by the way, have you ever thought about doing this for your? And sometimes they haven't. Yeah. And sometimes I come up with something that's like, you know, you're missing an opportunity. And I'll give you one example. I mentioned earlier in one of the earlier segments that I did some work with Bill Comrie. And we were doing a program where he was going to be speaking for the Alberta Home Builders Association in Jasper. And so I was working with him on his presentation. And we're sitting there. I said, you know, Bill, you're leaving money on the table, which caught his attention immediately. He said, what do you mean? I said, these are your market. These are the people who are they're building houses that people are going to live in. They need furniture for those houses. So we came up with an idea, and he pitched it as part of his plan.
What is his plan? Is he speaking?
They offered free furniture for show homes for all the builders.
That was pretty amazing.
And with signage, and turned every one of those things into a mini showroom for the brick.
Oh, okay.
According to him, and you've got it in the book that's in there, the foreword that Bill wrote for the book, he said, I made him $12 million with that idea.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
He put it
in the forward. I didn't know how much. He obviously tracked the money.
Yeah, and actually, maybe that's. We'll just take a little switch here. I was talking about your process and everything, getting people generating ideas, and then in this case, they were tying it back to the business. You did hand me a book that says "Think Beyond the First Sale" when you came into the studio, and I should mention something about it. So maybe what we can do is just alter our conversation. But tell me a little bit about this book.
Okay. Well, the whole concept behind the book is a lot of business people think about getting a sale, instead of building a relationship and a long-term involvement. Long-term relationships make you money.
Yes, they do.
And they build fans, they build champions, and they build people who will help you make money. And that's the secret. That's really the essence behind it, is thinking past that initial contact, getting the first sale, but how long can you be there to serve them?
Yeah, I often refer to that as lifetime value.
Exactly.
That's the formal thing.
Same concept. But you have to think that way.
You got to think
that
way.
And act that way.
Yeah.
So you're not pushing to try and get the, you're pushing to make sure you're the right, even in speaking, someone told me once in NSA, make sure the fit is right before you start talking money. Fit before fee.
Yeah, okay.
And make sure you're the right person to do the job for that client, so you really can, with integrity, say, you know, if you go to somebody else, you're really wasting your money. You need to work with me.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually a pretty good example, because how often, and I'm going to put in a small business world for you, because I partly shifted my marketplace, so I guess I'm talking a little bit about me here. You know, how often when a customer comes to you that maybe you have a relationship with, and they say, well, I need this and this and this, and maybe you say, well, we can do that, when maybe your friend or your business associate down the street could do it better for them.
And that's where you take the long view.
Yes.
You become the champion and the resource for that person and say, you know, let me put you in touch with somebody who's perfectly positioned to do that for you. They do a good job. You look like a hero. They come back to you because you're the resource.
Don't you think, though, if you do that, you have a better understanding of who you are in your business or what your business is about?
Well, and I think the key there is don't try and be everything to everybody. You know, that's a good way to be mediocre. and to not survive. You know, focus. It's like it's your niche, somebody once said, but know who you are, what you deliver, and what you deliver well, and what you deliver above and beyond your competition. That's what you focus on, because that's your differentiator. That makes is what makes you unique, and that's why people talk about you. Because if you want that, you're going to need to talk to Bob, or you need to talk to, you know, whatever.
But you can use my name.
Yeah, okay. Richard.
I'm okay with
you
that.
Know, I was going to do that, and I thought, well, I don't know if I was supposed to make a plug for Richard.
Oh, yeah.
On certain areas, you can say, you know, I think you really need to talk to Richard, because he can help you with that.
Yeah.
And if they trust you, you have that relationship, they will then go check out the other person. And hopefully the person you recommend will deliver in spades.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And then everybody wins.
I get it. You know, it's interesting. After you write a few books, right, or write a book, or that, people ask you, well, you know, who helped you write your book? And my go-to person is Les Klecky, right? Yeah. So I always give him a little plug.
Interesting. I'm having lunch with Les tomorrow.
Are you really?
At the airport.
Oh, good. He's going to meet you at the airport. Awesome.
He's going to drive in, and we're going to hang out. We're going to tell stories.
He's a great guy. Say hi to him.
I will.
Please do. And, you know, I had somebody else recently asked me, they needed to write a speech, and they wanted me to help them. And I actually had him introduce them to John Hindle. You know, so these are common people.
I saw John two nights ago.
Well, there you go. See,
it's a small world.
It's a small world. We know some of the same people, right? But I think it's important that as a business owner, and I'm just trying to support you in this, that you are comfortable, you know, saying, you know what, I think there's somebody else better to serve you. Doesn't mean you want to lose the customer,
but
you want to create a long-term forge relationship with them.
And I think that's part of the deal is I want you to grow. I want you to be successful. If somebody can do it better than me, then I'm going to recommend them. Because I know if I do that, you'll come back to me.
Bob, if somebody wanted to contact you, how would they go about doing that?
Your best bet, because I'm on the road a lot.
You are. You travel a lot.
I mean, this particular trip is like 4 weeks. Hmm. And then I had a week in China and Australia in the middle. So your best bet is to go to the website, www.ideaman.net.
Okay.
It's idea rich. It's resources based. There's tons of articles on there you can download. There's a lot of stuff that you can download that's designed to help you with your business and your career.
So that's www.ideaman.net.
Ideaman.net.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's a good idea that you check that out and everything. You know, Bob, if there was something that you wanted to really achieve in your life at this point in time you were at, what would that be?
I want to do more of what I've been doing. I decided a number of years ago I wanted to live a life that made a difference, and I've been striving to do that, and I've been seeing some success in that. But I'd like to expand that. I really would like to expand that.
Do you have an idea what that expansion looks like?
I'm working on some ideas.
Okay. Yeah.
And part of that is tapping into video and developing a lot more in my YouTube channel things that people can actually download and use that'll make them better, make them more effective, make them more money, which is some people in business actually like. They want to make more money, good because then you contribute to the community, you hire people. You're one of the engines, small engines that make this country great.
Well, so, I agree.
And that's a good thing.
And I'm always a big supporter of that because 97 to 99% of all businesses in Canada are actually categorized as small businesses.
Less than 100 people.
And small businesses, right? Yeah. What a show we've been having, Bob. You're an absolutely awesome guest. I always enjoy my time together with you. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what might that be?
I think what I'd like to say is life and success happens outside the comfort zone. So get used to being uncomfortable. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable and get outside the zone, you know, the winners to the winner zone, which is the outside part, but stretch and grow. You know, the best part of life is what you find outside of where you are now. If you stay in the comfort zone, you isolate and you die.
Yeah. So get outside your comfort zone.
If you stretch, you grow. Yeah. You get stretching pains, but it's so worth it. It is just so worth it.
It is worth it.
Life is an adventure. It's nothing.
And you know what, Bob? I think you're a man that's actually lives by that. I think you've actually stretched in your life, and you've been outside your comfort zone.
Still working on it.
Congratulations, man. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, the pleasure is totally mine, my friend.
You are absolutely awesome. I'm hoping that we can get a coffee or lunch or something later on while you're in town. Listeners, you know what it is, right? I want to thank you for tuning in, for hanging out with us right now. And you know what I'm going to ask you? If you have an idea, a thought, a question about the show, an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And there's something really important I need you to remember. To do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.